Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 186, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Though I am poor and sorrowful, hear thou, O God, my cry. Let thy salvation come to me, and lift me up on high. And what follows, Psalter 186, the first three stanzas. The portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Hebrews 2. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Hebrews 2. Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received the just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? A God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come whereof we speak, but one in a certain place testified, saying, What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the Son of Man, that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and that set him over the works of thy hands. Thou wast put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who were sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Oh, let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. Most holy, most majestic, omnipresent, all-knowing, merciful and good-doing God, thou wast granted for the second time on this Lord's Day that we and our dear children may have the privilege to come up to thy courts, then we may still have a place upon this earth, still in the land of the living. Thou yet maketh a difference. In the past week, we have stood as a mourning congregation with mourning families on the cemetery. May it leave an impression. May it be a lasting impression. May it be saving impressions by the work of thy Holy Spirit. And then how needful the prayer of Moses, the man of God, teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And now thou grantest this precious day of grace unto us and our children, that we may be saved, that we may be given to seek and find thee. To that end, may it please thee to bless thy word in this evening hour. May it be accompanied with a loving and a powerful application of thy Holy Spirit, and that all the solemn callings accompanied with the proclamation of thy word, that it may be used in thy hand, that many may be gathered within the fold, and also these solemn callings, we cannot remain the same, and it shall not return void unto thee. To that end, may it be a savor of life unto life, and not a savor of death unto death. Lord, may it please thee in this hour to convert sinners. Wilt thou remember thy Zion? Wilt thou grant those further leadings? Wilt thou grant that close life? And then also under solemn callings, then thy Zion, according to thy holy word, are called upon to make their calling and election sure. Thou hast a people upon the earth that need to be administered out of thy fullness to receive grace for grace, to need thy dear Son as their prophet, their priest, and their king. Wilt thou bless thy holy word? Wilt thou help the consistory on the Lord's day? And then tomorrow evening, the catechism classes hope to meet for the last time, and also a solemn meeting where empty places shall be seen and they shall be felt. The confession of faith class was given to meet in this day for the last time as a regular class. We humbly ask thee, wherein this week there hopes to be a male members meeting, the purpose is known unto thee, to elect an elder. May there be much prayer for the same, that it may please thee to grant a man of thine own choosing, a man prepared by thee, and a man prepared for thee. Wilt thou help fathers and mothers in their homes with the instruction of their children, and that also under solemn circumstances, under the callings of death, that thou may give the family circles much freedom to speak of thee, of thy word, the shortness of life, and that one thing needful. Bless also the labors in our Christian school, where there are empty places in three grades. We commend unto thee thy church over the length and the breadth of the earth, the established churches, the persecuted church, mission work, and the beloved for the Father's sake. Then the labors are manifold. May it please thee to grant more labors in thy favor. We commend unto thee our country, where elections have been scheduled. Then we may humbly yet ask thee that it may please thee to grant men that have learned to bow their knees and open thy holy word, that thou givest not our country completely over to the sins of the time and the foolishness of our hearts. We commend all the temporal needs, O Lord. Do remember the mourning ones, the two mourning families that have stood around an open grave to bury a beloved son and brother. Oh, do remember and uphold them with all mourning families where many wounds have been reopened. Remember husbands who have lost their wives, wives who have lost their husbands, children who have lost a parent or parents. Remember all those that have brought dear ones to the grave. Wilt thou uphold and wilt thou comfort and wilt thou grant that mourning because of our sins. we commend unto thee the sick and afflicted. We may humbly acknowledge thee for an old mother who underwent hip surgery in this past week, that thou hast helped her out and helped her through, and hitherto thou hast given wonderful strengthening. Wilt thou further strengthen and heal? Remember her together with her dear husband in the climbing of their years for body and for soul. We commend unto thee the two daughters in the hospital. Oh, the one with an infection, may the means be blessed, and the other daughter with difficulties of her mind. Ah, Lord, wilt thou remember them both? May it please thee to bless the means. May it be profitable for their never-dying souls. May it be for the saving of their souls. And remember all those that are near and dear unto them under these trying circumstances. We commend unto thee all those who in special ways are under the physician's care. Those taking treatments, may they be blessed. Remember the handicapped ones amongst us, those that struggle with weakness of the mind. Remember the crosses and burdens. We commend unto thee those that struggle with addictions and temptations, with those that are near and dear unto them. May the means be blessed. Grant a place at thy footstool. May it please thee to grant deliverance. Lord, we now humbly beg of thee for thy gracious help in this evening hour. May our help be in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. And may it please thee to send forth thy word with power divine, that it may enter into many a heart. We have nothing to plead upon. Our sins are great and manifold, but, ah, Lord, it is yet thy good hand that may gather us and our dear children together as travelers to that never-ending eternity. And then surely thou hast a purpose, and thou hast promised that it shall not return void unto thee. Ah, bless and gladden us then with a richer outpouring of thy Holy Spirit, where it may still be proclaimed that there is a precious Savior for the chiefest of sinners. Ah, Lord, may there have sinners come up in this evening hour with a debt and with a need, and with a cry unto the living God, that their sins may be pardoned, that they may be washed and cleansed in the precious blood of thy dear Son. Bless thy word to that end, and may the outgoing of this service before the coming of thy kingdom and the glory of thy name pardon us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 47, the first five stanzas. My God, I cry to thee. Oh, why hast thou forsaken me? Afar from me thou dost not heed, though day and night for help I plead. And what follows, Psalter 47, the first five stanzas. in this evening hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day number 16, the question and answers 40, 42, and 43. Question 40, why was it necessary for Christ to humble himself even unto death? Answer, because with respect to the justice and truth of God, a satisfaction for our sins could be made no otherwise than by the death of the Son of God. Question 42. Since then Christ died for us, why must we also die? Answer, our death is not a satisfaction for our sins, but only an abolishing of sin and a passage into eternal life. Question 43, what further benefit do we receive from the sacrifice and death of Christ on the cross? Answer, that by virtue thereof, our old man is crucified, dead and buried with him, that so the corrupt inclinations of the flesh may no more reign in us, but that we may offer ourselves unto him a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Lord's Day number 16, the question and answers 40, 42, and 43. Speak of the merits of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. With three thoughts, in the first place, justice and truth glorified. Secondly, a sin abolished with a mansion in heaven. And thirdly, the old man crucified with sacrificial thanksgiving. The merits of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Justice and truth glorified. A sin abolished with the mansion in heaven. And the old man crucified was sacrificial thanksgiving. Beloved congregation, then the question, the first question, question 40, then the question is, Christ has greatly suffered. We have heard it from the past questions and answers. We have heard that Christ was crucified. And boys and girls, we know the sixth crossword, and that is, it is finished. And now the question could arise, where Christ has stated in his sixth crossword, it is finished, everything that the Father has laid upon his Son to fulfill concerning the covenant of grace. Why is it now necessary? Why was it now necessary that Christ must die? Then, of course, then we must understand that sixth crossword aright was spoken by Jesus in full anticipation that he would finish everything in the state of his humiliation, which the Father has required of him, and that he would also die. Because our children can understand that also Jesus, after he would die, then he could no longer speak, then he could no longer speak those precious words, "It is finished." We have similar words in the high priestly prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ in John 17, verse 4. "I have finished the work which thou hast given me to do. I have glorified thee on the earth." And now the answer, the necessity why Christ also had to die, then the instructors have stated, because with respect to the justice and truth of God, then the instructors are given to mention two attributes, does not exclude the others. We have learned it from Reverend Hellenbrook, based upon God's holy word, that in God the attributes are all one. And also when we speak of the justice and truth of God, that does not exclude his love, because they read in 1 John 4, verse 8, that God is love, and that he also loves himself, and in that love there lies the honoring and glorifying of his attributes. But then the instructors, they are given to stress the justice of God. And now the Lord has said unto our first parents, the Lord has made the covenant of works, the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And now the Lord is so holy, so perfect, so majestic, that out of his holiness flows forth that justice for each sin which mankind commits in thoughts, words, and deeds. It must be punished, and it shall be punished. Then we speak of a demanding justice, but we also speak of an executing justice. The moment that the Lord executes his justice, and between those two lies the long suffering of the Lord, that we and our children may give unto repent, to cry mightily unto him, and to seek the pardoning in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The prophet Habakkuk has declared that the Lord is of pure eyes than to behold evil, and he cannot look on iniquity, and young and old may that be impressed upon our minds and upon our hearts, that the justice of God is so pure that he must punish sin. We have heard it out of Lord's Day number 5, that satisfaction must be made by us or by another. And now Christ, as the willing servant of the Father, as the mediator, then he has given himself, and then he has taken all the sins of all his people upon him. And because that he was laden, we have heard it out of Isaiah 53, the verse 6 and 7, that he has laid the iniquity of the sins of his people upon him. We have mentioned it before the sacrifices, when the hand or the hands were laid upon the head of that animal, then that animal must die. And to that end, the Lord Jesus Christ, it was not sufficient that he has suffered greatly in body and in soul It was not sufficient that he was crucified. It was not sufficient that he hung between the heavens and the earth. He has taken the curse and the sins of his people upon him, and therefore he must die. Then, boys and girls, maybe you can remember a few words. They start with S. One is sacrifice. That Christ was that sacrifice, that Passover lamb that has shed his blood for his people. And when the Lord sees blood, he shall pass over us. And that is now necessary for each and every one of us. And then the second word with S, that is substitute. That is one that takes the place of another. Oh, that precious Jesus. He was willing to take the place. He was willing to take the sins. Oh, think of Barabbas. You know who that was, boys and girls? Then they have made a duo. Barabbas, who was a thief and murderer, and on the other hand, Jesus, who was never committed any sins. And then the people have chosen to let Barabbas go. And what that must have been for Barabbas, we would think, it is not written in the Bible, but we would think that Barabbas, and how it was for Barabbas, we do not know. But surely we would think when Barabbas was set free that he would have followed the multitude to the cross. And then where Barabbas has seen the center cross with Jesus on the cross, then Barabbas has thought, Jesus instead of me. Ah, that is for the child of God. When faith may be an exercise, when they may be led into this precious mystery, and that becomes the wonder of salvation, that Jesus was willing to be the substitute, that he was willing to die for his people. And when we when the instructors mention the justice of God, then we are given to see, congregation, the terribleness of sin, the exceeding sinfulness of sin, where it is written in Romans 6, verse 23, that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. But the instructors, they also mention the truth of God. We read in Titus 1 verse 2 of a God that cannot lie. And that is concerning his judgments and also concerning his promises. And the Lord has spoken to Adam in Genesis 2, the verses 16 and 17. The day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt die. Ezekiel 18, verse 20, the soul that sinneth must die. And then concerning the truth of God, to fulfill the prophecies, Isaiah 53, verse 12, he poured out his soul unto death to fulfill the sacrifices, the Passover lamb. And now concerning that death, then Christ, he must also experience the spiritual death. That is the forsaking by his Father, experience the temporal death, the separation of body and soul, and also to experience the eternal death. Our instructors speak of it in the last question and answer concerning the descending into hell. And now for Christ. We read in Zechariah 13, verse 7, "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, the man that is my own fellow. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered." And then those precious words. You know what follows? "The fruit thereof, and I will turn my hand unto the little ones." Do you know who they are, congregation? Have you become such a little one? A little child that has learned to hunger and thirst after righteousness, that cannot miss after the Lord, that have so many fears, so many doubts, so many riddles, and so many perplexities, and that many times unbelief says it is not for you. But we read, "As a fruit, and I will turn my hand unto the little ones." We read in Genesis 3, verse 24, of those cherubims with that sword that turned every way, and whoever would enter, try to re-enter paradise, would be slain. And now Christ, in his great love, he has placed himself under that sword of his Father's justice, and he was slain, and in that way, a way was made open to paradise, all for Christ. When he hung on the cross, then no angel has come, as we read in Genesis 22, who has spoken to Abram, "Lay not thy hand upon the land, lad," but then Christ has died. Our second thought, a sin abolished with the mansion in heaven. And then we read, since then Christ died for us, why must we also die? And then we understand that the instructor, when he speaks, died for us, that is for the chosen people of God. And that question refers to God's people, why must we also die? And then the answer, our death. Have we thought much of death in this past week, congregation? Stood on the cemetery, two coffins, two graves, and two bodies. The day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And it is written in Hebrews 9, verse 27, that it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. Many texts in the Bible that speak of the brevity of life. Job 14, verse 1. Man that is born of a woman is a few days, full of trouble. Job 14, verse 5, appointed time, the number of his months. Job 7, an hireling, another place in Job as a post that quickly goes by. Psalm 90 as a tale that is told also that we fly away. And Isaiah 40, verse 6, as a flower fresh in the morning, so it was in the land of Canaan, for a flower so beautiful and so fresh. But then when a scorching east wind would come off the desert, then that flower would wither away, and in the evening its place would not be seen. Do we not read in James 4, as a vapor, as a cloud that comes and disappears? Do we not read in 1 Samuel 20, verse 3, but a stub between us and death? And what have our thoughts been this past week? Or were there those that have even tried to drive those thoughts away? Maybe some that we do not like to think of death. And it is a very solemn subject. Cannot understand, cannot fathom it, what it is when body and soul, which have dwelt together in close union, when the time comes, when they shall be separated, the soul appear before our Maker and sent to its eternal destination. But young and old, you can realize, even if we do not want to think of it, it shall not change the reality, because we must and shall die. Of course, in the Bible, there was an Enoch and an Elijah. And when we are living, when Christ comes upon the clouds of heaven, upon the great white throne to judge the quick and the dead, and when the grave shall be opened, also the graves in the Pitcher Butte Cemetery, then those that are living, then they shall be changed in the twinkling of an eye, and corruptible should put on incorruptible, and mortality shall put on immortality. Then it is so profitable that we are prayerfully given to meditate upon these matters, that in the first place, that we may be given to see the cause of death, and that is the exceeding sinfulness of sin. In the second place, to be given to use this world aright, and not to abuse it, not to set our pins too deeply. We have our duty, we have our calling, and we have our responsibility to provide for our families. Oh, then the necessity that we are given to redeem our time aright, and that it may be given, as I read in Deuteronomy 4, verse 29, if from thence ye seek the Lord, then your God ye shall find him, if ye seek him with your whole heart and with your whole soul. Then to be given to beg for the precious and powerful work of the Holy Spirit. Then should not those thoughts of death, not to make us discouraged and not to drive us to despair, but earnestly seek the Lord, and that we may be washed and cleansed in the precious blood of his dear Son. And then with the thoughts of death, to earnestly and faithfully use the means of grace. What do you think, congregation? Shall that now be seen on this coming Thursday when we have a weekday service? Realizing occupations, family circumstances does not always make it possible, but do we do our utmost, put forth effort when the doors of God's house are opened, that we place ourselves faithfully under the means of grace? I hope it shall be visible, because I'm sure, congregation, if you knew that Friday would be the day of your death, that your place would not be empty. Apostle has admonished the church in Hebrews 10, verse 25, and not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and more so, to see the day approaching. And now the question, and that is the question for the true people of God. Have we become one of them? Boys and girls, we have seen it. The Lord has spoken. Middle-aged, the Lord has also taken middle-aged away. And then for the older ones, are we prepared to meet our Maker? We are traveling to eternity. And now for the unconverted, then their death is also the punishment for their sin. But for God's true people, for the true child of God, then the instructor has answered, our death is not a satisfaction for our sins, because Christ is satisfied for the sins of his people. He has cried out, it is finished. He has paid their debt, and therefore they are set free. But now the instructor, and let us add, concerning death, and that is both for the unconverted and also for God's people, where it seems we live in a time that it does not make as much impression as it did in former days. Not saying that there is no impression. How often in former days that you read of deathbeds of the unconverted, where their conscience has been awakened, and how they were filled with the tears of eternal punishment. And Paul has written to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 26, that the last enemy for God's people, that is death. And the Lord is so free. But also in the life of the true child of God, how they can be attacked by the devil, all under the permission of the Lord. Many times the Lord crowns his own work. And when there may be that close and that tender life, even happens in the life of the concerned church, oftentimes in bondage, walking more with a lantern upon their back, not without a hope. They can tell what they have experienced, but no solution. Then oftentimes it pleases the Lord to grant unto such ones an easy deathbed, that the light may shine so clearly upon the work of salvation, upon the work of the dear Son of God, how he has become their sacrifice, their substitute, and then in other words, boys and girls, that is surety, that is a person who agrees to be responsible for another, legally responsible to take their debt. But now the instructors, they mention 2 points. And then we are given to see that the instructors, they have been clearly led in the things of the Lord. And a close life with the Lord, exercised with the Lord's attributes, and still burdened and struggling with their sin. Not a self-righteous Pharisee, not a perfectionist, not one that is quite satisfied with their life, but one that is struggling and one that is burdened. And to that end, the instructors have first stated, but only an abolishing of sin. Thus, that is a soul where sin, the beginning, of course, sin a burden, but in the way of continuance, still struggling and burdened with their sins. It's the first point. Oh, at the day of death, then the true child of God shall be delivered from self, from the flesh, from the world, and from the devil. And then the Lord has appointed death for the child of God, if we may say it so, as a chariot to carry their soul into heaven, to be in the presence of a triune God, and a passage into eternal life. Oh, it is described in many different ways in the book of Revelation. Sorrow and sighing shall flee away, tears dried up, long white garments, palm branches in their hand, worshiping the King of Kings, that city of gold, no need of the sun, because the Lamb of God shall be their sun, and there they shall be given to praise the Lord forever and ever. And now the all-important question is, are we prepared? If it would please the Lord to take us away in this week. That's possible. Only one step between us and death. The Lord would now take us away to meet our Maker. Are we now prepared? Has the Lord begun that good work? Can we find our life in the Scriptures? Have we, by the work of the Holy Spirit, become a real sinner, a mourning sinner, a needy sinner, a restless sinner, a sinner that needs, because the Lord has said unto the children of Israel in Exodus 12, verse 13, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. We need a sacrifice. We need a substitute. We need a surety in the Son of God. Let us first sing. Psalter 232, the three stanzas. O Lord, to us thy mercy show, and thy salvation now bestow. We wait to hear what God will say. Peace to his people, he will speak. 232, let us sing 1 and 2, and if necessary, the third. the merits of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Justice and truth glorified, a sin abolished with the mansion in heaven, and then congregation, when we have spoken of impressions, then we are not saying that there are no impressions amongst us. There's still a privilege and a blessing also with funerals, that it may be seen the love and the compassion, but also impressions of death and of eternity. And then we need to ask the Lord, with those impressions, do not try to smother them, congregation, but ask the Lord, Lord, may these impressions, may thou, they never disappear. Oh, may they be sanctified impressions by the work of thy Holy Spirit, and that I may receive no rest till I may find rest in thee, to be washed and cleansed in the precious blood of thy dear Son. Our third thought, the old man crucified with sacrificial thanksgiving. And then in question 43, what further benefit do we receive from the sacrifice and death of Christ on the cross? When we read of a further benefit, that refers to a former question of a former benefit, and that former benefit, then there is first spoken of justification, and that is to be acquitted of our guilt. But now this further benefit which Christ has merited for his people, that is sanctification. And now we read in the answer that by virtue thereof, our old man, when the Lord works the work of grace, then we become a two man. Not that we can understand and fathom it all. Then we become as a Rebekah of old in Genesis 25, verse 22, where she was carrying twins. And then those two boys, they struggled within her, in her womb. And then she is went unto the Lord and asked, Lord, why am I thus? And then the Lord has instructed that there were two nations in her womb. Concerning that old and new man, that is not an instruction which the Lord immediately gives. When we think of the book of Romans, then Romans 7, where it speaks especially of that flesh and old man, that follows Romans 5, which speaks of justification, because of a soul would be clearly led into those matters. And alas, oh, even for the child of God, and can sound so nice, and it can sound so reformed, when they speak of that old man secretly, blaming the old man, when they fall into sin and temptation, what did David say in Psalm 51? After he has fallen into a great sin, did he say, Lord, my flesh is never converted. I still have that old man, and that old man has fallen into sin. It's not what David said against thee. Thee only have I sinned and done which was evil in thy sight. But now for the comfort of the true child of God, then it is profitable and necessary that they are led into that mystery of being a two man, and that they learn experientially for their comfort the difference, as we have also learned it from the companion of Reverend Kirsten, the difference between justification and sanctification. And now Christ has merited both for his people. And those merits of Christ, when they are applied by the work of the Holy Spirit, then the church does not excuse themselves, but then they can be so burdened under that flesh and that old man. It is true. Think of the Israelites with the Philistines. Then Goliath was slain, but the Philistines were still in the land. Do we not also read of an Abram in the land of Canaan, that the Canaanite was in the land? And in the book of Judges, in chapter 1, although they had received the possession of that land, there was still a remnant of the Canaanites present. But now Christ, now by virtue thereof, then our old man is crucified, dead, and buried. And now crucifixion, that is a painful matter. Also the mortification of the old man. Oh, concerning the living child, then to say it simply, then they are betrayed oftentimes by their bosom sins, and so led before the judge. And now when justification to be acquitted, but now when sanctification, and we have learned it, it is only in part, it is not perfect, and it concerns the pollution of sin. Paul has written to the Galatians, in Galatians 2 verse 20, I am crucified with Christ, yet not I, and Christ liveth in me, and I live by faith in the life of Christ who has loved me and given himself for me. And now the instructors have stated, the old man is crucified, dead and buried. And concerning those matters, then we read that the instructors have said that so the corrupt inclinations of the flesh may no more reign. Thomas Watson has written that they may no more reign by virtue of the work of Christ, the work of the Holy Spirit, but that they may still rage, but that we corrupt inclinations of the flesh may no more reign in us. And to that end, the necessity for the child of God to watch and to pray. And when a Samson keeps his Delilah on his lap, then we can be sure that Samson will fall in due time, not fall out of grace, but come in a very deplorable, backslidden condition. His eyes were put out, and he had to grind for the Philistines. And now concerning that crucifixion, oh, it can be concerning certain matters and concerning certain sins that a child of God believes and hopes that he has gained the victory, that they have buried their sins, those sins, and that they shall never arise, but to be given to experience, O Paul, a saint, a child, a servant of the Lord, read Romans 7, how he was given to lament with a true sorrow concerning the works of his flesh, the burden of sin. And now, concerning that answer, then for the true child of God, then also in that part, that's not only for justification, but also for sanctification, the necessity of Christ in his threefold office as prophet, priest, and king, and that we may offer unto him a sacrifice of thanksgiving, the merits of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we all stand in need of, because we need to be justified to receive a right to heaven, and we need to be sanctified to be made meet for heaven, because the Lord has a prepared people for a prepared place. And now by renewal, and that is the all-important question, where is our journey to? Oh, my unconverted fellow travelers, Deuteronomy 4, verse 29. But if from thence ye shall seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him when thou seekest him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Then we hear it. Then we need grace. We need the Spirit. But may I ask you, are you doing what you can do? Or, if you are honest, do you say, try to put it off, or blame the Lord? Ah, for the Church of God, what precious matters. For poor sinners bitten by the serpent, then in this Lord's day, then he may be raised up on the cross. He is hung there with outstretched arms with those precious invitations. And all that the Father hath given me shall come unto me, and he that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. And that for the Church of God, not only in that first revelation, needing the application, but each time by renewal, oh, also concerning question and answer 43, and therefore Christ the Stoddish Church, to daily pray, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And Paul has written to the Corinthians, But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. Amen. Let us close. Lord, we may thank thee for another Lord's Day, another soul's market day, a few words to speak, well to grant the application, the meditations, and may it be turned into prayer. Lord, do remember us and our dear children with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. We humbly beg of thee, well to watch over us in this week. Keep us from harm and danger and from an unexpected and above all, from an unprepared death. Take us under thy good care. Grant a prayer for one another. Gather the catechism classes together tomorrow evening for the last time. Grant a word to speak. Well, to bless and prosper the male members' meeting. Bring us together for a weekday service. Well, to watch over us in this night. Grant strength, health, and courage to perform our labors. And Lord, do remember, comfort and uphold all the mourning families. Pardon us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing psalter, Psalter 278, the stanzas 1, 3, and 4. The tender love a father has for all his children dear, such love the Lord bestows on them who worship him in fear. And what follows? 278, 1, 3, and 4. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.